relationship. One guy saying that I remember another guy, I remember you constantly in my prayers, recalling your tears. Oh, this is a loving relationship between an older person and a young person. Although it's not the bond of blood, it's father to son. And today we're here to consider father to son, mother to daughter, older women to younger women. I recall your tears, how I long to see you so that I might be filled with joy. Everybody say joy. Everybody say filled. Everybody say filled with joy. Oh, I want to be filled with joy today. Oh, I want to be. Because the Bible says that's normative for a spirit-filled Christian to have joy. I got that joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Yeah, it can't just happen here in the mind. The mind says, oh, man, this place is dead. The picketer with a sign says, that church is dead. You know what? If we've got the joy of the Lord in here stirring it up, then the picket sign is a lie. But if we've got no joy, if all we've got is intellectual assent to the Scripture, and we got no joy, then we've got no power. Because the Spirit of the Lord brings freedom. I've been reminded of your sincere faith. Oh, I like it when a young person has sincere faith. And we've got them here, don't we? Oh, I could name them already. I've only been here just a little over 100 days. And I can already name young people with a sincere faith. Paul says, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother. And what was her name? Now, we've got some people here that studied the Bible enough to know that Lois is Timothy's grandmother. This sincere faith was also in your mother. What was her name? Eunice. We've got four babies, and we're going to bring them on up here. Some moms, and we've got some grandmas. We've got some couples. We're going to bring these four babies up here with their parents, whoever else wants to come up with them, because we're going to dedicate babies today. It's Mother's Day, and it's a fitting day. But Mother's Day is all about the whole church, too, because we commit our lives to these little babies. That's why we've got cribs and little rooms we call nursery. And that's why we have Vacation Bible School, and that's why we have something called Cradle Roll. Come on up. Tommy Ronk. Now, he can't come by himself, but Christy and his dad, Tom, are going to come up here. And just stand right up here on the platform. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Sometimes I'm driving in the car, Christy, and I'm kind of playing around with the rasp on my voice, and it bugs my wife. Will you stop that? You know, I'm just doing a little motorboat kind of sound. I've written a little song that I thought would be fitting for the next 3 years, give or take a year. This little one, Tommy, what's he going to look like 3 years from now? He'll probably be walking in the sanctuary. Because he's been trained up in this church where we're teaching him the appropriate time and the inappropriate time to run in the sanctuary. I was running today, and this lady said, no running in the sanctuary. I said, the rule is if there's any old ladies around. And she said, run on. Play that walking music for us. It bugged my wife when I was just doing it in the car, but in the last day, go ahead and turn it up.
God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people.
Lucas. Will that Lucas, accompanied by his mother Heidi,
God says,
and father Brandon,
pour out my Spirit on all people.
Will you sing that with me?
In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people.
I need Isaiah Knapp, accompanied by Father Bob and Mother Diana.
My Spirit on all people. In the last days,
got a little girl to come up and accompany these boys. Tyla
says,
Simone Hopkins. Accompanied by Carly and David Hopkins.
In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people.
I want you guys to sing that with me and rock your babies.
In the last days.
Just kind of bounce them a little bit. See, they're not fussing right now. But if they were standing out in the public and they started fussing, Mama could go,
in the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people.
In the last days, listen to this. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy.
I will pour out my Spirit on all people.
And your sons
in the last days.
And your daughters,
God says,
shall prophesy.
I will pour out my Spirit on.
This promise is for you and for your children.
In the last
and for all those who are far off.
I will pour out my Spirit on all people in the last days.
Come on, Daddy, sing with me.
God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people in the last days.
Sing with me, church.
God said on all people in the last days. I will pour out my Spirit on all people.
Father, we ask you to bless little Lucas. Lord, you've given him a mother and a father committed to one another. Lord, this is a blessing in our generation. Lord, it isn't happening all the time these days. But Lord, we ask you to bless father, mother, and son. Father, we pray for Tom and for Christy, and for little Tommy. We ask you to bless mother and father and son. And Lord, we lift up Carly and David. And we lift up their little daughter, Tyla Simone. We ask you to bless her to be raised up and nurtured in the admonition of the Lord and to know what it is to speak forth the heart and the mind of God, to actually prophesy in these last days. Father, we lift up this little guy, Isaiah Knapp. We lift him up to you, Lord, and his precious mother, Diana, and Father Bob. Lord, may they be blessed. Father and mother committed to one another. Father and mother committed to each other. Mother and father committed to each other. Lord, we thank you for this powerful army. Two generations. If you're a grandma or a grandpa, would you come on up? If you're a grandma or a grandpa connected to these little babies. In the last days, will you sing with me? God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Now, this is a mighty army here. And we don't have all the grandmas and grandpas here. You know, when you look at this, three generations, see how powerful that is? In some families, there's four generations, and some, they can even be up to five generations, I've seen. That's the kind of church that we're going to have. We're preaching through Acts, Luke, and Romans over the next 3 years, give or take a year. Isaiah can walk, right? We put Isaiah down. Let's just see what he does. Let's just see what he does. Now, he might just cling to Mama. Let go of him. Oh, he's going to take you someplace. And a child shall lead them. See? Where does he want to go? But you guys, if you put your babies down, none of them can walk yet. Just newborns. But you know what? As we work together through the book of Acts, Luke, and Romans, all the way through line by line, verse by verse, over the next 3 years' time, there's going to be some major changes. Now, Tommy's probably not going to look that much different. Maybe he'll pick up some glasses or lose some hair. But these little ones are going to look much different. And you're going to be part of this because we're a family. We're the family of God. All right, moms, dads, go ahead and go back and be seated. Do whatever you need to do. Your kids have been so wonderful. This isn't just a one-day ceremony. Yeah, let's give them a big hand. Oh, the Bibles. Bob likes to do stuff for me. Bob, will you go present a Bible to each one? The names are right there. Little New Testaments. A couple of them were purchased in the 1900s, and I had to cross out a 19 to write in a new millennium. Isn't that something? Would you open your Bibles to Luke 1:39? When I started the series, I said it's going to be 3 years. And I actually said this, and it could have been received with great shock and awe. When I said, we're not going to stop for special days like Mother's Day. You know, I should have probably picked some less sacred, holy day of the secular holidays. But I said, we're not going to stop. We're just going to preach on through. But look at this verse and you'll see it's the perfect verse for Mother's Day. Luke 1:39. And Mary arose. And we know that it was in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. And I know I'm not able to say it these days, old lady, but in those days she was an old lady. And in her old age, Elizabeth is pregnant. And Gabriel shows up to talk to Mary about her pregnancy. Luke 1:39, and Mary arose in those days and went up into the hill country with haste into a city of Judea and entered into the house of Zechariah and saluted Elizabeth. If you have a modern version, you'll see it says, she greeted her relative Elizabeth. Now, how do you greet? Yoo-hoo! I had some relatives that greeted that way. Yoo-hoo! Some say, hello!
Hello!
Hi!
Hey!
We don't know exactly what salutation Mary used. But upon hearing the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in Elizabeth's womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. That's good King James vernacular. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. That's some preaching talk right there. Getting filled with the Holy Ghost. What did it take to fill Mama with the Holy Ghost that day? It took the voice of one coming on visitation. In the last days, God says. That's not Luke. That's over here in Acts. And for those of you with us for the very first time today, this is my little Acts section. These are the experts in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 2, the Holy Ghost came upon all those gathered 30 years after that scene. 30 years later, the Holy Ghost is going to come to live within His people. And there were some mocking, some were making fun of this large group of people praising God in all kinds of languages. And the one making fun said, they're drunk. And Peter said, these men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 a.m. No, this is that. This is that. This is that. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says. It doesn't say, in the last day, God said. There's really an important thought to consider here. The present day involvement of your God in your life. If all the preacher did, Peter stood up that day and said, well, a long time ago it was written, and God said this. Now God, we don't know where He went to. He started everything and then He took off. He wrapped our little universe up, stuck it in a shoebox, put it up in His closet, and then He went about His business. And that's why we don't know Him. He hasn't come back to visit. That's the way I kind of lived my spirituality for the 20 years of agnosticism. I wondered if we were just some universe in some sort of shoebox, some mystical closet, some unknown God had started it all and then put it away and might come back someday and open it up and blow the dust off us. But that's not what Joel said. Joel said He's a right now God. In the last days, God says. God says, I'll pour out My Spirit upon all people.
And we've got to gather together around God's Word, and we've got to chew on this. What does this mean, all people? Well, I think we saw it up here. You saw a few of them look old. Not that old, because these kids start having babies pretty early on, all along the way. Thelma was 12 and she married Dennis, I think. Something like that. Close. Got some pretty young-looking grandmas, don't we? Yeah. We might see 5 generations. We might see that happen. And it's real important that the same faith that resides in Eunice and in Lois gets passed down to little Timothy. Little Isaiah Knapp, dragging his mama over here at the foot of the cross. Hallelujah. Hannah, come up here for a second. On Mother's Day, oftentimes we go to Hannah. She was a woman who wanted a baby so bad. Hannah, do you want a baby?
After I'm married.
Okay, I like that. After I'm married. All right, how old are you, honey?
I'm 15.
15, okay. And the guy in Australia is 21. A little old for you. In the last days. You know, this girl's going on a mission trip, and I owe her $100 because I called her goofy last week. You know, Hannah's a little goofy, and she's going on a mission trip. And when I said it, for some reason, I just had total freedom that you weren't going to get mad at old Pastor Rob for saying you were a little goofy. You aren't, especially with $100, right? Is there anybody who'll match me $100 because I called her goofy? Anybody? All right, Kurt said Kurt's good for $100. Anybody else match me for? Okay, golly, what? See all those people? Raise them up. You'll match me $100 because I called her goofy. Okay, you know what? Hannah, you are goofy. Anybody else? Hannah, you're so goofy. Anybody else? All right, see all that? All right, okay, honey. Go ahead, have a seat. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. I want to think across generations. Not just the old folks. Holy, holy, holy. That's important that the old folks have those good old songs that their mama and grandma passed on down to them. I come to the garden alone. Will you sing with me? While the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear calling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and he walks with me, and he talks with me. Okay, that's good enough, choir. Now, I'm not making fun of that song, but that song speaks of a certain generation, doesn't it? They just don't write songs like that anymore, do they? But that's a good old song that I know if we go into that song, somebody's going to start to cry because that song reminds her of her mother. Just like that guy we heard about during the introduction to the music, walking down railroad tracks and he hears a bell ring. And along with that bell is the resonating voice of somebody from a prior generation, from a mother, saying, make me a promise. Once in a while, it's good just look a loved one in the eyes and say, make a commitment to me. Will you make a promise to me? That was an important day in that anecdotal story. The bell rang and he said, I got to go. I made a promise. The title of our message today, the bulletin, I put it in there wrong. It says Baptist Babies. That's what we had up here, 4 little babies who are going to a Baptist church, so it makes them Baptist babies. But what we don't want to have is Baptist adults who are still being carried around by mama and daddy's faith. You can be Baptist, I suppose, and not be a Christian. You shouldn't. If the Baptist church did her job correctly, everybody would know that you must be born again. There's only one way to the Father, and it's through Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. You must be born again. John chapter 3, you must be born again. But the next 3 years we're going to be in Acts and Luke and Romans. Oh, I hope that somewhere in Acts, Luke, or Romans that it says how to get saved. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. and your young men shall see. Say it. You guys know your Bible? I think it says that in all the versions. Vision. If you've got no vision, then you're an old person. You're just real old if you've got no vision. But in the last days, our young men, the ones we call ours, are going to see visions. And our old men are going to what? Dream dreams. When I first came on as the pastor, Kurt, and I don't want to call 74 old, but he said, I've got a dream. And he wanted to share it with me. I went into his office and I sat down. And I'm thinking he's going to say, I want to get a big orchestra and a big band, and I want to have all these soloists, and I want to have lights. I just have one big extravaganza. You know what he said he wanted to do? The 74-year-old pioneer. He said, I want to bring in a young man who will lead worship. His big dream was, I want to invest in a young man. And that's why I've been holding back, because I've got it in me too. I could get up there, but I want to invest in a young man. That's my dream. And I've got vision from my old days that hasn't even been realized yet. Now, I don't think there's a cutoff that you got no more vision after 40, and then you just got to start dreaming dreams. I think it all goes together. The key word is your. Got a father and son sitting here, and they said they were going to get up within spitting room of the preacher. It's a little far back, guys. They belong to us. That's our dad. That's our son. Our old men are going to dream dreams. Our young men are going to see visions. Our sons and our daughters are going to prophesy. You know, and then sometimes there's big controversy over who can be a preacher. Who can be a pastor? Billy Graham's daughter, she gets up there and she shares God's word. And she shares it powerfully. The Bible says that your sons and your daughters are going to prophesy. That's why we've got a lady named Beth Moore in the current generation. And she's a prophetess. She speaks forth the heart and the mind of God. And in this very congregation, we have prophetesses. And I'm not talking some seance situation, some fortune teller. Women who have given themselves over to a relationship with Jesus Christ. Women who seek after the Spirit. Those who seek Him, who hunger and thirst after righteousness. And they're filled with His Spirit. And they open their mouth and God gives them what to say. And it's a word from God through a woman. I'm looking for Hannah to open her mouth and to speak forth the Word of God. She's been raised in church. Cradle roll, Sunday school, vacation Bible school. I think she's going to stick with the church the rest of the days of her life. And how old did she say she was? She's only 15. And will God use her as a 15-year-old daughter who opens her mouth, who's not afraid to simply share what she knows that she knows that she knows is God's word? Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. I want us to be a prophetic church. It ought to be normal when you call one another up. It ought to be normal for you to hear the very heart of God through the person you're talking to. Because we're also going to teach to not gossip, to not slander, to not maliciously backstab your brothers and your sisters, kick them under the table. You know how kids are. You know how babies are. We're Baptist babies, but we're going to grow into powerful men and women of God who prophesy by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, who are sensitive to the voice of the Spirit. And what a blessing it is. You've experienced this before, haven't you? When someone says, you know, I was just praying. This is so strange. I was just praying for God to speak to me. And then you knocked on the door. Or the phone rang. And it was you. And the thing that you said, and you know, and you're kind of clueless. I don't know what it was I said. But God used you as an angelic visitor. As a visitor with a message from God. And you might not even know that that's what you were carrying. When, Lord? When? When did I prophesy? Inasmuch as you did it unto the least of these of mine, you've done it unto me. when you speak forth my heart, my mind. When you tell somebody that good works won't get you into heaven. When you tell a really sweet little lady that she can't be saved by good works.
Then you prophesy.
When Peter stood up there and quoted from Joel, he's still in the midst of Joel in his quotation when he says, "And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." You ever see the word saved in the Bible? That's Old Testament. Peter knows his Bible. And what is Peter? He's just a fisherman. But somewhere, sometime, somehow, he got that good news from Old Testament Joel stored up in his heart. You know, Peter wasn't the pastor of First Baptist Church Jerusalem in those days. It's the day of Pentecost. He stands up because somebody's pointing their finger, laughing, mocking him for being drunk. And he said, "These men are not drunk as you suppose." He's responding. He's opening his mouth as Peter often does. But God fills his mouth. "Hey, Mama, why don't you pick that baby up and go? In the last days, God..." It'll work, says. You know, that'll get the word into that little guy, Lucas. I tried to quiet Lucas the other day. My wife, she thinks she can quiet any baby anywhere, anytime. And Lucas was giving her trouble. And I said, "Let me have him, you know." And you know what? He wouldn't quiet down for me. And then his dad tried. Wouldn't even quiet down for dad. Then Mama took him in. I want to get to know that kid's name. Because he's going to grow up into a boy. Isn't he? A real live boy. Not just a baby. A boy. And I hope that boy will prophesy. Because whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We've been talking about blood, fire, smoke, darkness. That's a pretty spooky time in the Bible. Sounds like the book of Revelation is Joel chapter 2. Walk on over here with me to the book of Romans. See this cross? See something nailed up on the cross there? The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. All sex outside of marriage goes right along with all other kinds of sins. Lying, murder, disobedience, idolatry. Romans chapter 1 all the way up through chapter 3 verse 20 is going to talk all about these days. These last days. And we could just stay here in Romans and it'd be pretty dark. If we were preaching line by line, verse by verse, just Romans by itself, we'd be dark for 6 months. All we'd see is darkness. And if all you do is read the newspaper and watch CNN, if all you do is turn on the news, talk, you're not going to get much good news. You're just going to hear it like it is. Paul told it in Romans 1 that it happened way back in Genesis when man turned away from God, and then God gave man up to the foolishness of his own thinking. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child. It's the rod of discipline that'll drive away that foolishness. That rod of discipline doesn't mean whip them, beat them.
It means guide them, count them, teach them, protect them, speak to them, teach them, nurture them, admonish them. Raise up your children in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart. See, we stuck Romans 1 right there up on the cross because that's where you've got to stick it. It's in the cross. Where is the wrath of God revealed in human history? It's on CNN and it's in the newspaper. It's happening right now. The wrath of God is being poured out by simply giving men over to their free will. But God dealt with His wrath, His holy anger toward disobedience and rebellion once for all time, 2,000 years ago on a cross. And that's why I want to put all that on that cross. Because it's no point just preaching how lost this world is, how awful it is, without pointing people to the answer. And that answer is alive in this center stage of the pulpit, in the book of Luke. Because little baby Jesus, yet in his mother's womb, is on visitation in his mama's belly. And when mama says, "Yoo-hoo, Elizabeth," however Mary said it, at the very moment that Elizabeth heard that salutation, the baby in her womb, little John, little Baptist baby, he leaped. And Elizabeth took that salutation and connected it with this movement inside that nobody else would know if she hadn't said something. It was a secret. That movement of life is a secret in her womb. But she equates the movement of that baby with the sound of Mary's voice, and she interprets the experience. Elizabeth hears, John leaps. At that moment, Elizabeth is filled with this Holy Spirit. Elizabeth interprets the experience. In the blinking of an eye, whoo! Ever see a mama do that? Whoo! The baby just, they say sometimes, the baby just kicked. You know, that baby might be leaping. Interpret the experience. Elizabeth interprets the experience. Then she uses her mouth to prophesy. She speaks forth the word of God. Elizabeth blesses in the power of the Spirit. She spake with a loud voice and said, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb." That sounds similar to what the angel Gabriel delivered to Mary, doesn't it? Do you know this word blessed in the Greek is eulogia? It's where we get the word eulogy. I was just in this room on Friday, and I heard those blessing the memory of Mother. They called her Mommy. She was 96 years old. Florence Mitchell passed away at the age of 96. Mommy, they called her. And they stood to eulogize her memory. They blessed her. Elizabeth, an old lady, looks at this young mother and says, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy." Luke narrates for us what happened. And Luke doesn't tell us that the baby was leaping for any particular reason. Elizabeth hears Mary say, "Yoo-hoo," or whatever it was she said. The baby moves, and the mother goes, "My baby is jumping for joy." Is that legitimate? For us to interpret our experience when we're in church and we experience something, maybe no, it wasn't in the pastor's notes, that wasn't his goal, that wasn't his objective that we would hear this or that we would understand this or that we would memorize this, but we just know that God is speaking to our hearts because we happen to be in the right place at the right time and we hear something and it connects with something that's unseen to anyone else. That leaping for joy in her belly causes Elizabeth to speak forth and to prophesy, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is thy fruit, the fruit of your womb." And I know some kids are going, "Fruit of the loom? Isn't that underwear made of 100% cotton, U.S. fabric in Honduras?" Yes, it is. I've done my Bible research. Fruit of the womb. knit together the pure DNA that God uses to knit together the Savior. This Mother's Day is a pro-life message. Do you understand that?
For you and me, we can have a similar progression of experience as we listen for the visitation, the salutation of one who's come to us, even a human being in haste, even somebody Hannah's age, coming to us and greeting us in some way, and we just stop from our busy life and we realize that God is taking this thing that I've been meditating upon, this thing that's in me, this thing that I have yet to see, that I just know, though, is going to someday be revealed, someday going to be delivered. And God says, this thing in me is connected to that thing there, that word I've heard, that person who brings forth a greeting. Now, I know I'm getting all mystical here, but that's just what you do when you get into God's word. This word becomes life. And it's those things that you meditate upon, those things you think about, those things you talk about, that you're going to wind up calling your life. That's your life. Some young man takes an interest in a young woman and starts to think about her, starts to meditate upon her, starts to talk to her, and before you know it, if things go his way, they get married, and that's their life. That's what happens. They make a commitment, and they live out the rest of their days based on a commitment they've made. Likewise in the church. I'm not here to play a game with religion, and I'm not here to clock in and to clock out and to get a paycheck. I'm here sent, called, sent, committed for us to become the church that God is calling for in these last and evil days. Now, God has never woke me up with this revelation that He's coming today. And I've heard the saints for years say, oh, He's coming, and oh, He's coming soon. I just know He's coming soon. And I've seen some pass on who thought they were going to see that day when the Lord comes the same way He left. That's not His calling on me. His calling on me is just to live ready, to get ready. I don't get up with charts and tell you this is going to happen, then this is going to happen, this is going to happen. I want to see the people of God filled with the Holy Ghost. For you to interpret the experience, not just grasp at straws, but interpret the experience you have with God's Word. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. That's King James English. What Elizabeth is saying to Mary is, I'm here to confirm what Gabriel said to you. Those that came to visit Mom, let Him speak to you. Let Him speak blessings to you, so that your sons and your daughters will arise and call you blessed at the end of your life.